Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, I'm trying to understand something you said, Brandon. We had, of course, the June 24th, 1947 sighting from Kenneth Arnold. And you said the Air Force was created around then. But wasn't this a natural progression of an Army agency rather than something triggered by UFOs?
It wasn't the first time an Air Force was thought of, but I think that it perhaps was. I find it to be a very suspicious coincidence. If that's the, you know, the timing on it is very suspect. Now, I will say that it was not the first crash. I mean, you got the Belgium crash at 38 that allegedly, again, the Nazis found and went down. And
okay, right. You're talking, you're comparing this to Roswell then.
Correct. Yeah, Roswell. But I think the Arnold sighting definitely started a buzz. And then when you have the official story being changed on Roswell the day after, again, it points to something now is going on. Something changed with that. Now, when you look at perhaps the psychology of why UFOs crash, this is one of my favorite things. You find them all over the place. You bring into question perhaps that they're being seeded here, because you find a pretty big shift in the perception management of UFOs after the Roswell crash. You find a deliberate cover-up and a deliberate, no, it's not what happened, with people like Kehoe, you know, jumping out of a huge window, right? You have a lot of things that occur within a short period of time after that crash. And one could say that there was something pretty tremendous discovered there. And it's not the first time it's happened, and it's not the last. But there was something, again, dramatic that prompted a pretty big response from the Air Force and anything that came after it.
In the production of this film, Darcy, where do you find the stock footage that really helps carry it along?
So you can get a lot of this from the NASA archives, the NASA Surface Journal, and actual TLI, the old space footage. You can look it up, TLI, you know, people were getting this on VHS and stuff back in the day, but we restored a lot of the footage and images to 4K. And then, you know, the interesting thing is, just like Brandon has explained, the data that you find online now has been scrubbed and replaced. So one of the researchers I partnered with was Kerry Martinuk, and recently I partnered with Mike Barra. I don't know if you've ever spoken to him, but he quite famously did the book with Richard C. Hoagland, called Dark Mission. And what Kerry Martinuk, as well as Mike Barra, noticed, and Richard Hoagland, in the making of all of this media, you know, downloading this footage and downloading these pictures, you'll notice quite obvious attempts to edit the photos and cover up data that's in the public. So, for example, if you go into Photoshop and you take a picture with your phone right now of a dark, starry night, right? Some of the stars might turn up. The moon might be the brightest object in the sky that you can look at in your Photoshop. But if you go to color settings and you go to check the contrast and color of that photo, although most of the photo will look black, there will be all kinds of shades of black. And the values will go anywhere from 1 to 100, let's say, right? With these NASA photos that were uploaded and then later photoshopped even more, the initial uploads show a black sky and, let's say, or space, when the astronauts are taking a picture of the Earth through the window of the CSM. You can see Earth floating in a black void, yeah? And when these guys put it into Photoshop, they saw that everything outside of Earth, there was a small mask placed over top of Earth, and then everything beyond, let's say, like a centimeter in the photo was masked out and black was set to a degree of one, to a setting of one, a contrast of one, meaning that only one color value fills that whole night sky. That's impossible unless the photo has been edited. And, you know, if you look at the same Blue Marble series, which we analyzed and present in the documentary, these were all taken during the Apollo space missions. The Blue Marble series has been edited twice. The first version, which Carrie Martinuk downloaded in the early 2000s, that showed masking that I just described, where you just see the planet, and then outside of the planet, where there's just black space, everything that's black is set to a color value of one. And then for multiple photos, NASA realized that their Photoshop attempt to mask out the sky was so obvious. And recently, in around 2014, Mike Barra noticed they replaced the Blue Marble series with basically they filled in the night sky with all different values of grays and blacks. So if you do color peaking, you start to see that it's not just one value of black anymore. So that shows that they're listening, just like the example of Donna Hare and Brandon explaining they heard it, they went to it, they changed it. This has been happening to all kinds of researchers when NASA's been called out for altering the photos and the footage.
Some of these photos that you have on the documentary, the attempts to hide things are really rather clumsy. Now, you know, something that could very easily have been done with the clone stamp in Photoshop. It just looks like somebody was handed this photo and said, you know, cover it up. And they did what they had available at their desk.
Yeah, I think, you know, in earlier days, no one would be that wise to it. But everybody that's growing up these days take some form of computer multimedia class, you know, in maybe late elementary school and even high school for sure. I did. And there's more technology at these kids' disposal than ever. Photoshop is something everybody can get their hands on now. And so many, many, many researchers have looked at the photos that have come out of the NASA archives, and it's just obvious that they keep updating it and changing their attempts to lazily Photoshop things out to something more sophisticated now.
Even more to that, you can take Photoshop, which has been done with same NASA photos, and look at the astronauts on the moon, and look at our Earth in the background, and see that it is very clearly Photoshopped. Now, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not saying anything. What I'm saying is that photo was incredibly Photoshopped. The researchers have broken that one specifically down time and time again. This is also where you get the spire on the moon and things like this from the shadow that was not cropped out. And then in other satellite photos of the region, it is cross-referencing it. So there is a deliberate attempt to hide things up there. And that's, you know, very interesting to me. You know, our tax dollars are going to lie to us about the coolest thing ever.
The other aspect of your film is the transcripts that you were able to get a hold of and show. You know,
we have to break right now, Jim, and then we'll continue with your question, because it's important as we explore a part of UFO field, part of this world of science that isn't being talked about enough, and some people think it's crazy, some people think it's not. Brandon, Darcy, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Tim, I interrupted you rudely, as is my wont, because I want to be rude. Please continue your question.
Interrupted out of necessity. The transcripts that they were able to find and include in this documentary are really interesting, I think, because you have a lot of these astronauts that At a certain point, when they've been interviewed by the media about possible UFO sightings, most of them will deny seeing anything. Yet then we have these transcripts that, even though that they had been classified for I think up to 12 years and then released, seem to show something different.
Yeah. Transcripts come at this time in space history from a device called the VTR. It's kind of like a flight and data recorder that you'll find on most commercial flights these days. Just in case the flight goes down, they can retrieve the black box and they can find out, okay, what really happened. So this technology was being tested in space in those days. And the astronauts would observe anomalies, or they would observe things that they were seeing flying around their craft, and they would call them out. They would say, what is that? What is that light there? It's moving. And all this different sort of cryptic speech about things they didn't understand that were flying around them. Now, these are supposed to be trained observers. There shouldn't be many things flying up there at this time in history. There just shouldn't be other satellites up there. There shouldn't be, you know, Russian cosmonauts in a big way. There should be mostly just them. And so you can equate many of these sightings to being UFO sightings. And we discussed that in the documentary. There's multiple different missions that the transcripts show this, and most of it comes from the Gemini missions.
Yeah, there was one, I can't remember which one it was, where one astronaut was really getting excited about what he was seeing and couldn't convince his partner to take the time to actually look at it. He was like, no, there's something here. And the other one's like, oh, no, we got to work. Don't look at it. It's almost like the other astronaut is like, you're going to get us in trouble. Just shut up.
Exactly. And I think that was the common stance of the astronauts post-Mercury mission. All the Gemini and Apollo astronauts were not to talk about that type of thing. They knew what the outcome would be if they did. They probably would get fired. They would be ridiculed. Their career as an astronaut would be over. Most of them were living, you know, they were living a dream. They were famous. They got, you know, a lot of them, I'll say this, some astronauts were single at the time, and when they got back to the planet, they were having a fun time on the press tours, meeting all kinds of ladies, right? So there was all kinds of perks to their job, let's say. And it's too bad that UFOs were not a perk that they cared to discuss in the public.
Well, there was one instance where the astronaut kept referring to a bogey. And then later, during an interview, he said that, yeah, well, what he was saying, bogey, that's just the term he was using for, I think, one of the lower stages that was accompanying them in orbit. They were using that to take fixes on. But it just seemed odd that he was using that term, which is well known for something unidentified.
Yeah, so
unidentified.
Yes.
So you're referring to the Gemini 7 UFO
yes,
that was witnessed by Frank Borman. He debunked that heavily whenever somebody asked him about it. But, you know, the major thing here is that, again, NASA was training their astronauts not to talk about these types of anomalies in the public. Bogey usually refers to a enemy craft or an unidentified craft when pilots are in normal airspace, right? Now, I think he was told to say that was the Agena craft that they were trying to line up with. The Agena craft is essentially another part of their, it's like, When the rocket breaks apart, the Agena craft gets launched on a different mission from the module, the capsule, and then the capsule they want to dock with the Agenacraft to do space flight maneuvering tests and figure out, okay, how are we going to actually maneuver in space and actually continue to use fuel to propel our way towards the moon, right? Remember that Gemini was considered the bridge to the moon. It was the missions that were, they would do all the technical practices to eventually head to the moon through cislunar space, you know, the depths of space between our planet and the moon. And the Agenacraft was an early rendition of, you know, the CSM and the lunar module docking that they would do on the Apollo missions. So he was saying, oh, when we said the bogey, we were just speaking about the Agenacraft and we were trying to target it so we could link up with it. Well, why wouldn't you just call that the Agenacraft? Why would you call it a bogey? It makes no sense other than to report, hey, guys, there's something here we don't understand that's in our flight path. Just letting you know there's something here.
Well, you know, some of the rumors about secret space programs say that we never left the moon. We continue to send man to the moon and to possibly other planets with more advanced spacecraft. What's your take?
Ooh, now we're talking. This is my jam. Darcy, are you gonna, do you want to take this?
Go for it, man. You take that.
Man, I recently had Tony Rodriguez on, and he was allegedly a part of the 20 and back program. Now, it's very interesting where we're talking about secret space and the, you know, McKinnon, where he revealed that there was allegedly off-terrestrial officers he found in a document that was, you know, labeled Solar Warden, Operation Solar Warden. And I find this very interesting. I really enjoy the stories of, you know, the Charles A.A. Delshow's work with the breakaway civilization, the airships of the late 1800s, early 1900s. There were these incredible sightings of these airships that were manned by humans and that were highly advanced and had electric lights where they didn't at the time. And there was just a rash of these sightings and encounters where they would land, seem to need to do something mechanically to the craft or operationally. And they would talk to people that they found. They would ask for weird things sometimes or, excuse me, a cup of coffee or something like that. I'd show the people around the craft, kind of tell them about it, and then wave off and then be gone.
We are going to be gone right now for a moment. And then Darcy, Brandon, Gene, and Tim will continue. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News.
Raphael Warnock, the Democratic incumbent for Georgia's U.S. Senate seat, is making the case on why he should be given a full six-year term. His Republican challenger, Herschel Walker, is making the case on why he should be chosen over Warnock. Both men have days left to make those arguments ahead of Tuesday's runoff election. Another judge in the Hoosier state has blocked Indiana's abortion ban ahead of that state's Supreme Court hearing oral arguments on an injunction that was implemented a week after the ban went into effect back in September. South Carolina will be first in the nation on the Democrats' presidential nominating calendar. Some party leaders have pushed to replace Iowa in the number one spot to reflect the party's diversity overall, but specifically giving a nod to black voters, the party's loyal base. The U.S. men's soccer team heading home from Qatar after losing to the Netherlands in the World Cup. You are listening to USA Radio News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Brandon, we've got you in your element here. Weird stuff. Tell us more.
When you scaled that up from the late 1800s to exceptional things that were going on that were not told to the public at the time, based on maybe an independent group, perhaps it was a secret society element in this where there was a lot of technology involved. There's allegedly this Marconi connection to a breakaway civilization. All of it fun. I love all of it. So if you think of this and then scale it up, and then you have a gentleman like Tony Rodriguez, who, again, I had on the show, and we were talking about the technology being used to facilitate what our modern secret space program looks like. And it's incredible. He's talking about a clone body that was used instead of his own that took his consciousness on board it. He carried out his 20 years, which he called slavery, as actually not a cool experience of the secret space program. It's not as cool. His experience of it was not as cool as you want it to be. There's not a lot of lasers and gunfighting and cool stuff like that. It's a lot of takeover, a lot of us walking into cultures and kicking over tables and kind of taking over. And it's an interesting perspective. But this idea that you can transfer your consciousness from your body now to a body that's yours that will age and then be discarded is a very interesting element. I think just that alone calls a deep, you know, psychological conversation, and especially tying it into some contact reports that the Greys themselves simply refer to us as vessels. And this idea that we're just kind of it's a ride and this is your car, but there's something greater going on that's driving the vehicle. That's more you than what you think you are. And when you look at this as far as this age regression and then memory wipe technology, then you perhaps can say, well, either this is a man-made technology that was scaled up and just independently evolved, or perhaps these things that we're seeing in the sky gave us help. And maybe there's some sort of effort involving all of it that the general public on this planet don't know about, but that there's a faction of actual humans, a great population of them, that know exactly what's going on. And according to Mr. Rodriguez, they have bases on the moon where the Greys aliens and a bunch of other civilizations work together. in conjunction or at least side by side. I kind of jokingly called it like a food court where it's just all their little stands and you have the reptilians over there and yeah, don't mess with them. They're a little grouchy, but everyone's kind of up there kind of doing it together. And it seems to me that this idea on a technological level would make a lot of sense. It wouldn't, in my mind, be hard to hide that sort of technology from a populace, perhaps like Bigfoot as well. You know, it's been hiding for a long time. What is it? The hide and go seek champ, right? So if you look at it like that, then you're sitting here saying, well, maybe it's all ours, you know, which I don't necessarily subscribe to, but perhaps, you know, the things that we're seeing and the incredible stuff that looks like we're not capable of doing it is exactly the biggest ruse of all. It's actually ours and we are capable of doing it. It's right there. And evidence, you know, within the secret space program perhaps could support that.
Well, the argument against something like that is, why, if we have that, why are we bothering hoaxing to everyone the use of chemical rockets and, you know, sending men in, you know, little tiny, barely shielded capsules and things like that when, you know, we may have something that is of much higher technology that can, you know, go to the moon in just a couple of minutes?
An outstanding question, and my answer to it would be that it's all part of the perception management, because it wouldn't take a human long to figure out that if we could go into the moon in a matter of minutes and do what these craft can do, then we don't need to be paying for our electric bill. Electricity and free energy would be everywhere. This scales up to us being a type 2 civilization, and I just don't think that the people who are steering the ship for the time being feel that we as a populace are able to handle that. And it's much easier to control people if they don't think that they can hop in a ship and just zip over to the moon real quick. The access that the general population would have to that and the implications of it, I've also spoken with a lot of people that say that because it's all connected, the second we introduce zero gravity to anyone, they're going to be able to time travel. Now, these are physicists. These are people who do quantum computing. You know, this is not some dude in his basement. There's some, and I'm not going to reveal the sources, but there's some people I've talked to that claim this. And I believe them because of who they are. So this has great far-reaching implications. And this is the great frustration with us as researchers, especially observing and being as involved as we are into the understanding that this technology exists. This isn't a Jules Verne novel. This is occurring in our skies, and it's all over the place, and people are having incredible experiences. And then you talk to contactees that get to fly the ship, like, what? And so it's incredible. But the other but to that is our populace, the people who are steering the ship, feel we need to be controlled. And with the technology available to us, we wouldn't be able to be controlled. And I think that that's really the crux of it. I believe that it would liberate us too much, perhaps at our current cognitive understanding and conscious development, to the point of extinction.
Very possibly. I can agree with most of that Brandon just said. I think the liquid rocket technology has been out since World War II. We've mastered that long ago, and we continue to use it because of industry and control of the populations, but and the economy and, you know, business. So yeah, I think the NASA space program by far was a PR exercise, and it still is. I think there's definitely footage and pictures being beamed back from the recent Artemis mission that seemed to not look right to me. So I think the population of the planet is going to get wiser. We live in the age of information. Everything's at our fingertips, on our cell phones, surrounding us. Someday we're going to be integrated with it. At one point, they're going to have to come clean about certain truths in regards to our reality. Those truths are going to be that we're not alone in the universe, and that there must be other intelligences out there that are non-human. And the other part of that truth that they're going to have to admit is that we have the technologies that some of these UFOs, these vehicles that are flying in space and airspace around our planet. We have been testing some of that technology, and we could use some of that technology. But I feel like that is going to be the harder one for the public to grasp, and the harder truth to be revealed to the public. So, you know, expanding your reality, I think, is going to be the name of the game, and that's where Brandon Thomas comes in, and I think he'll be your man to expand the ideas and the consciousness of mankind.
Hey, Darcy, you're going to have to make an early exit, but can you tell our listeners, if they want to know more of the things you do, where do they go?
They can check out my website, occultjourneys.com. I'm also on YouTube as Occult Journeys, at Occult Journeys, Instagram, Darcy Weir Films, and TikTok, Darcy Weir Films. So, and Twitter, if people want to find me there.
Well, you know, the way things are working with Twitter, we don't know if anyone will be able to find things there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. If people want to see my films, they're on Amazon, iTunes, YouTube Red, Google Play, all kinds of streaming services, even Vudu.
Ah, yes, Vudu. They offer a lot of interesting product, Darcy Weir. Brandon Thomas will be with us for the remainder of the show and our After the Paracast premium podcast. But Darcy, great meeting you. We should talk again in the near future. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Absolutely, guys. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, and take care.
Brandon, continuing with us, with Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation
reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, as we continue the show, Brandon Thomas is here, listening to Darcy Weir in previous segments talk about the possibilities of a secret space program that we may be using alien technology. That sounds like a TV show, Stargate SG-1, doesn't it?
It does. We're like Star Trek, which came out much, much earlier. And actually, Gene Roddenberry was allegedly very involved with perception management of the public's opinion about spaceflight, and also very involved and directly connected to the CIA and NASA. So there's an interesting way they go about presenting information. Now, there's an interesting thing also that's referred to as revelation of the method, meaning that if there's something going on that you should know about, but the people who should tell you don't directly come out and say it, there's a way of going about it. You mentioned it earlier when saying that they're not a threat. Okay, that's not saying that they're not real. Okay, that's like telling a child something to the same equivalent. It's the same reading level that conversation is coming at you at. These are your leaders. Those are the people that you're trusting to give you the correct information. So it just seems to be interesting that this is pervasive in our culture. I've had a gentleman on the show I highly would recommend anyone to, named Robbie Graham. And he wrote an awesome book called Sober Screen Saucer. And it's about the perception management, exactly what we're talking about, deliberate suppression and cover-up of in just feature-length films and TV, how they reveal aliens and alien technology and UFOs. There's a story that Robbie tells about Spielberg when he was going to make The Third Kind. And he wrote to NASA, wrote to the Army for resources. Filmmakers will do this. You know, Darcy, when he scales up, phenomenal filmmaker, by the way, I love him. When he scales up, he'll be asking the military for jets to be used in background shots and for B-roll and stuff. Well, this is what directors did, and especially back in those days. When he wrote in, not only did the military refuse, but also NASA took it upon themselves to write him and tell Spielberg that they didn't think it was a good idea that he made the film. So the fact that even NASA's involved in storytelling, in fiction, right? I mean, that's just science fiction. It's just a movie. Why would NASA care if it was made or not? I find these to be the very important questions when it comes down to it.
By the way, Robbie Graham was on the Paracast April 10th, 2016, and June 11th, 2017. Plus, we had some of the people who have written books and book chapters for him on the show. So he's a very interesting, cutting-edge thinker, and we're happy to know about it.
Well, I love that, yeah.
And now you know the rest of the story. But I wanted to ask you here, all the stuff that's allegedly going on, and I want to just go back to Stargate SG-1, because the difference between Stargate SG-1 and Star Trek is in the far future, 300 years or so in the future, give or take, whichever show you listen to. But Stargate SG-1 is contemporaneous.
Yes, I love the delineation. I love that you pointed this out. Yeah,
it is about this agency, the Stargate Command, with access to an alien device that allows you to travel across wormholes to other star systems called a Stargate. And the reason I even bring it up is there's a story, published story now, I don't know if you saw it, Traffic Technical, which means I have no idea what they're talking about, except they created some mini wormholes in a quantum physics laboratory. Now, we're over at 2022 and the show is being recorded. What it tells me is, I don't know how long it'll take, but we're developing some interesting things that might indicate a future way of traveling that's more efficient, more effective, if we can perfect it.
Absolutely. And don't disagree. And the way that I look at this is, if it's being presented to you, they already know exactly how it works. If it's being presented to you at its infinitesimal stage, as if it's some far-flung thing, then they probably have a much greater understanding and handle and awareness on it than they're ever going to let you know. We know this is true about the military itself, just for a gun, let's say, for any hardware. What we're aware of is years. Some say 50, some say 150, and who knows, when you bring things like the secret space program into the conversation, perhaps it's a lot greater than that, years beyond the technological access that people have to things in the private sector. Whenever you look at things like even that, there's a big, big world out here. And I think even just questioning it just a little bit and stepping into the UFO phenomenon just a little bit, just click on the news and entertain that for a minute, then you can really go far with it, like really far with it.
Let me ask you, though, really, people who hear us talk about secret space programs, and I don't necessarily buy the concept, although it's interesting from an academic point of view, perhaps. How does one go about proving any such thing?
You can't. That's the best part of it, right? I think that just like anything, true discovery here is a very personal one. And so I think, though, that perhaps is built into the mechanism of discovery itself. It must be for the chosen few. It must not be something that is as widely accepted and provable as to not sane the mysteriousness of it. And I think that this is what the phenomena presents in itself and all of its beautiful factors. If it's paranormal, if it's Bigfoot, if it's UFOs, if it's a direct contact experience that healed you, your cancer, you know, or something like that, then it's very impactful. But it's for you. It's not for everyone. And it seems to me that, you know, this idea that it's for everyone, really, you and I can have an emotionally intelligent conversation about how if you gave your neighbor right now, either side of you, a UFO, what would be done? You know, what at level are we able to consciously interface with that thing? Now, I think that there could have been a better job done, if I'm being very opinionated about this, it's only my opinion. I think there could have been a better job done on preparing us as a whole conscientiously for that interface and for that liberation. But I think that it's been deliberately suppressed for a mechanism of control, and that has put it out of most folks' reach, just conceptually. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's not for everyone. You know, I mean, I use psychedelics. I will tell you straight out, they're not for everyone. And so perhaps it's the same thing. Maybe it's not meant to be at that level.
You look at research that was being done in the 1950s on anti-gravity and field propulsion, yet by around 1960, that information on the research disappeared. Nick Cook pointed out in his book, The Hunt for Zero Point, that when this happens with conventional warfare weapons, that this means that progress is being made and that the top secret blanket has been put over everything.
I agree wholeheartedly. I would say that that's exactly what happened. This is also why, again, back to the perception management we were speaking of earlier about the time of 47, about the Roswell crash, it was handled very differently. And, you know, that it also could be an indication of the same phenomena, that they were actually making headway and that they made a huge discovery that they found was not suitable for us mere muggles, as they would say, us little folk.
Brandon, where can we find more of your stuff?
Yes, sir. I run a show called Expanding Reality, and we do just that. It's a verb for a reason. And you can find that at expandingrealitypodcast.com. That's going to link you to all the socials. The lives are replayed there. We have a whole Too Hot for YouTube section where we play the stuff that YouTube has said that we're not allowed to, just asking questions. And that's going to link up for everything, guys. We can be found at wherever podcasts are served, YouTube and Rockfin as well.
Fast question. Why does YouTube not allow something?
There's some elements of speech that for a little while there, and it continues to exist, weren't considered real, and therefore they weren't considered valid for an argument, which is always suspect. If you can't have all the information, there has to be something going on, and we experienced that with a lot of other content creators on simply asking some questions about some factual information that was being brought up that was counter to official stories that were being held pretty tightly.
We're going to have him as a guest also on our premium podcast after the PowerCast for PowerCast Plus listeners. There's a lot more to talk about there, whether you accept it or not. Whether you accept Twitter or not, you can find us on Twitter as the PowerCast. Facebook won't let us put the URL for thepowercast.com on there, nor Tim's site either, conspiracyjournal.com. So we'll pass them by. We have branded merchandise at theparacast.shop. That's theparacast.shop. The logos with the T-shirts and the caps and everything. We also have the Paracast Plus. The Paracast.plus is a place to sign up in seconds. We offer the After the Paracast podcast. Once again, Brandon will be with us there. Also, this show free of the network ads with higher quality audio. How can you beat it? Special over subscription rates, and we offer this deal. If you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime memberships. Check out the Paracast.plus, P-L-U-S, the Paracast.plus. Brandon, great meeting you. Thank you for being on the Paracast.
Man, thank you so much. It's been an honor.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.